chapter 20, book of Joshua, chapter 20. We'll read the whole chapter, which is 9 verses. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, they, the elders, shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then shall they not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city, and he, until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. The Old Testament, of course, abounds with types, shadows, allegories, illustrations of Jesus Christ and the salvation that is in him. And what one such type is these cities of refuge. 6 cities of refuge. One of the first decrees after the announcement of the Ten Commandments was a decree that really provided for the future establishment of these cities. Notice in Exodus chapter 21, Exodus 21, 10 commandments have been given. Verse 12 and 13, He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. That's the basic law of God. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. That sets the establishment of these cities. God further develops this subject with Moses, which he was to relay to the Israelites in Numbers chapter 35. And such is repeated to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 19. We read in Joshua chapter 20, and there God is speaking to Joshua following the conquest of Canaan, and he speaks concerning these cities of refuge. And what God said to him, he was to relay to Israel. We see that in verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, or point out for you cities of refuge. Again, we see that there were 6 God appointed cities of refuge. These are a type These are a shadow, an outline, if you will, of a God-provided person of refuge. Someone greater than the cities of refuge. So I want to speak this morning on God's provision of refuge. First of all, we just want to consider this account, the cities of refuge. They were God-appointed. Again, we back in Exodus 21 and verse 13, where the concept was first introduced to Moses, God said to him, I will appoint. That is, I will determine and designate thee a place whither he shall flee. In Numbers chapter 35, God instructs Moses in verses 10 and 11, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come over Jordan and the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge from the avenger. The instruction in Numbers 35 is that when they entered Canaan, that the inheritance of the Levites would be 48 cities. The Levites would inherit 48 cities, and of those 48 cities, six of them were to be specifically designated as cities of refuge. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, we see that there were three cities on each side of the Jordan. God instructs Moses to remind the people concerning these cities in Deuteronomy 19 verses 2 and 11, thou shalt separate. That is, these cities are to be separate. They are to be set apart amongst all others. In Joshua chapter 20, Canaan has been reached. God tells Joshua, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, back in Exodus chapter 21. And in verses 7 and 8 of Joshua chapter 20, we read the names of the cities. And then in verse 9, we read these six cities that were named were the cities appointed. These were the cities appointed. So from all of that, we see that these cities were the concept of God and not man. They were particular. They were specific cities. Nothing was left to the ideas of man. Nothing was left to the opinions of man. God said it's these six cities that are to be cities of refuge. So what was the purpose of these God-designated cities? Well, it was a place where one could flee, which speaks of danger. Again, Exodus 21:13, I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. Numbers 35, concerning these cities, it is said three times that these were cities where one could flee. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 42, that the slayer might flee thither. And in Deuteronomy 19, again, it is stated three times that one could flee to these cities that God had appointed. So these God-designated cities where one could flee was for the purpose of refuge. And that's stated over and over. We see in Numbers 35 and verse 6, cities for refuge. Verse 11 of Numbers 35, cities of refuge. Verse 12, cities for refuge from the avenger. Verse 13, six cities shall ye have for refuge. In verse 14, cities of refuge. In verse 15, these six cities shall be a refuge. In verse 25, city of his refuge. And that's repeated again in verse 26, verse 27, verse 28, verse 32. In Joshua chapter 20, verse 2, it is referred to as cities of refuge. In verse 3, your refuge from the avenger of blood. So the purpose of these cities was to serve as a refuge. Now, a refuge is a place of shelter. It's a place of protection. It's a place of safety, a place of immunity, a place of security, a place of asylum, a hiding place. It is a place where one can find relief. It is a place where one can find provision. It's a place of life. It is a place where one can escape from death. In fact, in Deuteronomy 19 and verse 4, we read, "Flee thither that he may live." And in Joshua 20 verse 9, "Flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger." So God in his love, his grace, his mercy and kindness, appointed six specific, distinct, identified cities for the purpose of a refuge. These cities were strategically placed. We see that three of them, according to Joshua 20, were in the mountains, a place where they could easily be seen. And as you read Joshua 20, where these cities are placed, you see that no matter where you were in Canaan, one of these cities would be nearby. Wherever you were in Canaan, one of these cities was close by. So these cities were to be plainly marked out. They were to be accessible. They were to always be available for both Jews and the Gentile. It is declared in Numbers 35:15, these six cities, no other, these six shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and the stranger and the sojourner among them. So it's cities of refuge for all people, for all races of people. So the purpose is for refuge. So consider the need for these cities. The basis of these cities of refuge is that after the flood, God laid down a very basic rule to Noah, a rule that still applies today. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Very basic rule. It was repeated to Moses in Exodus 21 and 12. "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death." Again, that's just the basic law. But God in his wisdom would put a difference between a murderer and what we call today manslaughter. There is a difference. And God would allow for the difference. In the Old Testament, the moment a person was killed, intentionally or unintentionally, the nearest relative of the victim could take vengeance, whether it was intentional or unintentional. We read in Numbers 35:19, "The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him." And in verse 21, "The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him." Now these God-appointed cities of refuge were for those who did something that resulted in the unintended death of another person. And this is stated repeatedly. This was not, the cities of refuge were not for someone who deliberately killed an individual. Exodus 21, verse 13, it is stated with regard to the death of another, if a man lie not in wait, which means if the murder was not premeditated. Numbers 35, verse 11, which killeth any person at unawares. In verse 15 concerning these cities, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Verses 16 through verse 21. Notice if you go over to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers 35. Verse 16, and if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him line of weight, that he die. Or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die. He that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But then, verse 22 and 23, but if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, that is, he had no hatred of this individual, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then shall the congregation judge. This is who the cities of refuge were for. It was for someone who accidentally killed another individual. And it's brought out in Deuteronomy 19, whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not. That's who these cities of refuge were for. Joshua chapter 20, verse 3, we have the words unawares and unwittingly. And in verse 5, smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not aforetime. And in verse 9, whoso killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die at the hand of the avenger of blood. These cities of refuge were for someone who accidentally killed another person. Now notice in Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy 19. And verse 6, lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hard, while his heart is hot. In other words, he's so angry, he's not thinking clearly whether or not this was intentional or accidental. And that's where these cities of refuge come in play. The one who is being pursued could flee to these places. So in Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy chapter 19, if you read through those passages, there are a few scenarios set forth. For example, some people are clearing rocks from an area, and they're just hurling the rocks out of this area. And someone just happens to walk into the path of these rocks being cleared and strikes him in the head and kills him. That's one of the scenarios. Another scenario is you have two men cutting down trees. All of a sudden the axe handle or the axe head flies off the handle, strikes the other individual and kills him. These were accidental deaths. But in such cases, there's still the avenger of blood. The near kinsperson of the victim. And he may be so enraged, he doesn't think clearly, he doesn't even take the time to consider whether or not it was intentional or unintentional. All he knows is my family member has been killed, and vengeance is mine. In such a case, the one who accidentally killed another would flee to the nearest city of refuge. And from our text, we see that he would be met at the gate of the city by the elders, who would consider the case and determine if the death was intentional or unintentional. If intentional, the murderer would be handed over to the avenger of blood. But if unintentional, he would be given a place to live within that city of refuge. And provision would be made for him. And he would be guaranteed safety in that city. So now imagine a man cutting down trees. The axe head flies off the handle, striking another and killing him. An accident has occurred. The one holding the axe handle runs over to the one lying upon the ground to assist him. But when he gets there, he can plainly see that the individual is dead. So there lies a dead man, accidentally killed. You can imagine that immediately there is sorrow, there is grief, remorse fills this man's soul. He's in great distress and anguish of soul. And then absolute horror comes upon him as he sees the corpse lying there. He's experiencing a sorrow and a remorse and an anguish that he's never felt in his whole life. Never has he felt this way. And he realizes this man has relatives. The avenger of blood has the right to pursue and kill him. And he realizes that he's in great danger. And fear comes upon him. Without any hesitation, without any thoughts of saying goodbye to his loved ones, without any thought of anything else, he flees toward the nearest city of refuge. In doing so, he leaves his own house, his wife, his children. He leaves his own way of life. He leaves everything. But he has this assurance that that city of refuge is his only hope. So he flees in the direction of that city. He has the assurance that there he can find safety. And there is the only place that he can find this safety. So he flees. Now imagine one who accidentally kills someone, but for whatever reason, he does not flee to a God-appointed city of refuge. But instead, he takes matters into his own hands. In doing so, he is neglecting God's provision for him. That God, that city of refuge. Perhaps he seeks refuge somewhere else rather than the God-appointed city. This man would live the rest of his life in danger that the avenger of blood could meet him at any time. If he did not flee to that city of refuge, the rest of his life is lived in danger. No matter where he would take his residence, no matter what the circumstances of his life, he would be in constant danger of the avenger of blood. When he would be sleeping at home, he would be in danger of the avenger of blood. Perhaps he's enjoying time with his family and friends, but he would be in danger of the avenger of blood. Perhaps he would just be walking down the road, but he would be in danger of the avenger of blood. Perhaps he would be at work. Perhaps he would be at recreation. But wherever he was, he would be in danger of the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood could meet him at any time. He knew not where it might be. No matter what time of day, this man would be in danger of the avenger of blood. Perhaps only a step away from a meeting with the avenger of blood. Anywhere and at any time, the avenger of blood could meet him. This man's life was in danger if he did not flee to that city of refuge. And by not fleeing to the city of refuge, he is neglecting God's provision for him. And he lives his life in danger. We can easily see the parallel. These cities of refuge typify refuge in a person. There is a desperate need. There was a need for these cities of refuge. And there is a desperate need today. In the Old Testament, the cities of refuge were appointed and provided by God to meet a specific need. And there is a need far more desperate than one accidentally killing another individual. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we have a summation of the state of man born into this world. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man must answer to God. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned against God. All have failed to meet His standard. This is a desperate situation. You see, sin is a violation of the very laws of God. Therefore, it's a crime against God. It is an opposition against God. It is an uprising, a rebellion, a revolt against God. Sin is a striving and a contending against God. It is a defiance of God. And we read, for all have sinned. That's a horrific statement. For all have sinned. Far more serious than one accidentally killing another. There's nothing as monstrous and despicable, shameful and disgraceful as sin. and all have sinned. You cannot possibly measure how wrong it is to sin against God. How bad it is. How reprehensible it is. How abominable it is to sin against God. It cannot be measured. It cannot be measured how grievous a single sin. And man perpetually sins against God. One sin places you under a debt that you cannot possibly pay, that cannot possibly be calculated or even imagined. That's one sin. And our sins are innumerable. For all have sinned. For all have sinned, and they do so over and over and over again, time and time again. We need to read those words. We need to hear those words. We need to feel those words. All have sinned. All have sinned. There's nothing more serious anywhere than that statement. As a result, we have all come short of the glory of God. Man falls short of the perfection, the purity, the holiness, the righteousness of God. God demands absolute perfection. God demands absolute compliance. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. People will say, well, I'm doing the best I can. I hope He will accept me on that basis. He won't. He won't. People will say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. I do a lot of good deeds. Certainly God will be satisfied with me. He won't. He won't. They will say, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Let me tell you something. God doesn't grade on a curve. He demands absolute perfection. Absolute compliance to what he requires. And anything that falls short of perfection is unacceptable to God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is declared in James 2 and verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Guilty. The law of God has stringent and unbending and unrelenting demands. And all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's the diagnosis. That's not the diagnosis of the social worker. That's not the diagnosis of the psychiatrist or the philosopher. But that is the diagnosis of God, the one before whom you must stand. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nothing more dreadful than that. Nothing more tragic. There's not a more dismal diagnosis anywhere. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's true regardless of your genealogy, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your religion. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, all are guilty before God. We have a lifetime record of sins against God. And every single one of those sins deserves the wrath of God. Which, by the way, is a curse. The law of God has a curse attached to it. It is stated in Galatians 3, verse 10, cursed. That means doomed. Is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And in verse 13 of Galatians, we read the curse of the law. And everyone is born under that curse. A sinner against God. Guilty before God. Cursed or doomed to the displeasure, the indignation and the wrath of Almighty God. There is no greater crisis, there is no greater need than that of the sinner. If you're here and unsaved, you are in danger. You are in danger of dying in your sins. You're beneath the curse of a broken law. That law hangs over your head. You are in a state of doom. But there is a God-appointed refuge. God has appointed a place of refuge to meet the need of the sinner. As we've seen in the Old Testament, God appointed and provided six distinct cities of refuge for a very desperate need. And those six cities foreshadow a God-provided person of refuge. The person is far greater than the cities, and for a far greater and more desperate need than the need for those cities. God has appointed a refuge to meet the desperate need of sinners under the curse of a broken law. Six distinct cities. The only place where man could find refuge. There is one today. Jesus Christ. God's provided refuge for sinful man. If you lived in the Old Testament, I suppose you could get angry. Why are there only six cities? Why aren't there 60? You ought to thank God there were six. Today, people get mad. Oh, you say there's only one way. That offends me. You ought to thank God there is one way. God in His love and grace has provided a way, and that's wonderful news. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God sent forth His Son for those who are under the curse of the law. We read in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And all have sinned. Again, there is no greater crisis than a sinner in his or her sins. Nothing more serious, no greater need. Nothing more pressing than a perishing sinner. You are a sinner and you are dying and you have an appointment with God. There's nothing more pressing than your situation. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to rescue and spare the condemned, the unacceptable sinner from the death that they deserve. God has graciously and mercifully and lovingly provided a refuge, a place where the condemned sinner can find safety, security, and immunity. But there's only one place, and it's Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There is a place of refuge. And it is truly an amazing thing that a holy and pure God, the sin-offended God, the very God who has the right and the power to heap eternal damnation upon your soul. It's an amazing thing that He would provide a refuge for the sinner. And it's Christ. So here's, if you're here and lost today, here's what you need to experience. In our text, someone accidentally kills another. And as he looks upon that dead body, reality strikes him. I have killed someone. It's real. That dead body lying there makes it real. I have killed someone. It brings reality to what has happened. And immediately, and here's what will happen, when it is real to you that you are a sinner against the Holy God, when that is real to you, you hear it all the time, but when it's real to you, just like this one who accidentally killed someone, there's a remorse. There's a distress and an anguish of soul that you've never in your life felt. It's real. And realizing that the avenger of blood, which is the law of God, has the right to pursue you, you become filled with horror. And when it's real, I have sinned against God. I have a lifetime of sins against God. When that is real, a sense of horror comes upon you. And there's only one thing you can do. You flee. You flee to the place of refuge. If you do not flee to Him today, you do not realize it's not real to you that you've sinned against God. This is far more serious than what we read of here in the Old Testament. So, unsaved sinner, you may think all is well. You may be enjoying life. You may not have the least bit of concern for your soul. But I pray today, and there are others praying here today, that God would make your condition real. You are a violator of the law of God. Oh, that the reality of that would set in. A criminal against God. One who is consistently and constantly opposed and resisted God every step of the way, and that you are guilty. Oh, that would become real. to you today. Realizing that God in His wrath could meet you at any time. Or you may be walking along, you don't have a care in the world, you have no concern for your soul, but let me tell you, the very next step you take, the avenger of blood may be there. Your life is in danger. But oh, that would become real to you. So real that sorrow and remorse fills your heart, and all you can do is flee to Christ. If you go from this, if you're here and lost today and you go from this building without fleeing to Christ, it is because you do not realize the reality of your situation. Because once you see the reality of it, you will flee. You will flee. Hebrews 6 verse 18, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Oh, I'm so glad that one day it became real. I fled to Jesus Christ. He was my only concern. Nothing else mattered. I've got to get to Jesus. He's my only hope. And we fled and we laid hold and we've been laying hold ever since. Flee to Him. Because the avenger of blood could meet you at any time. You can be on your way. You can be on your way out this door. The avenger of blood might be right back there. You can walk out in that parking lot. The avenger of blood may be there. You can go home. You can lie down. Wherever you are, the avenger of blood can meet you. But there is a place of refuge from the avenger of blood. Jesus Christ. Flee to Him today. He's your only hope. Now you can get angry, but let me tell you something. I don't concern myself in speaking to lost sinners whether or not they're going to get angry. It bothers me if they do. Because that just, again, manifests the seriousness of their situation. We're telling you the truth. You need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Getting angry, getting upset, getting your feelings hurt won't save you. You need to flee to Him. Flee to Him. He's your only hope this morning. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us the first song. Do you know the